Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which will take account of his servants. Now, where did we just say the kingdom of heaven is? Right in here. It's in us. That's right. The kingdom of heaven, when Jesus came, it moved into us. When we accept him as Lord and Savior, the kingdom of heaven lives right here within us. And it says, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, that's about, in today's money, that would be about $3.8 billion. Now, I realize with our new federal government, that wouldn't be nothing. That's pocket change. We're talking in trillions now. But, you know, if we keep it down on a personal level, $3.8 billion is not exactly pocket change, is it? No. 10,000 talents, you might think, well, that's $10,000. That's not much money. $10,000 is not a lot of money to some people. But $10,000 is a lot of money to some people. But he's not talking about $10,000. He's talking about 10,000 talents, which is about $4 billion, thereabouts. Close. Now, $4 billion, still a lot of money. Verse 25 and 26. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. And then here's something that we don't get a hold of. Not only, since this man couldn't pay his debt, he was going to have to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, in other words, his cars, his trucks, his boats, his airplanes, his bank account, his house, everything that he had, and payment to be made. So what's this man going to wind up with? Nothing. I mean, everything's going to go away, isn't it? Including his family. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Now, there is a very, very important word in that sentence. And he fell down and worshipped. Now then, if you have a problem getting healed, I want to ask the last time that you fell on your knees and humbled yourself and worshipped the Lord. When you wasn't ashamed, it made any difference, making it who's there, who's present, who's not present. Some people will not even pray over their food in a restaurant because they're afraid they will offend somebody. We're Christians. We go sit down in a restaurant, and I say, well, let's pray over the food. Oh, Thurman, don't pray. Don't pray here. Don't pray out loud, please. I need to find me some new friends. I don't really have any friends like that, but I was at a place the other day whenever a man went in with some preachers to have dinner. And when they went in, he sat down and he said, when they brought the food, he said, well, let's pray over it. And they said, oh, we prayed in the car in the parking lot because we're afraid we'll offend somebody in here. You know what I would have done if I'd have been with a bunch of preachers and one of them said something like that? I would have jumped up, held my hands out, and screamed a prayer in that place. Everybody in that place, food would have been blessed. I guarantee you. Because I know who holds the lightning bolts in his hands, and I don't want them to hit me. Do you know who holds the lightning bolts in his hand? That's right, Jesus. And he puts them where he wants them. And I don't want to be close to a table of a group of preachers that's afraid to pray over their food because they might offend somebody. That's a dangerous place to be, you know? But anyway, that really happened. I know the man that happened to. It said, this servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. Don't be afraid to worship the king. I mean, he's God. If you're afraid to worship him, hey, there's no telling what might happen to you. It says, but Lord, be patient with me and I will pay you all. Verse 27 and 28. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Now, that's what I would like Jesus to be moved with for us when we come to him for healing or whatever, wouldn't you? I would like for him to be moved with compassion and say, oh, my child has repented of their sin, so I'm going to be merciful to them. I'm going to touch them and I'm going to heal them. I love it when Jesus shows up. But this is a way to get him to show up. He said it himself. The Lord of this earth was moved with compassion and he loosed him and forgave him that huge debt. Now, if you owed $4 billion and you couldn't pay it, and the man called you and said, I'm calling in your debt. That house you live in, That's going to be mine. I'm going to kick you and your wife out on the street. And you humbled yourself before him right in front of everybody and worshiped him. And everybody said, look at that fool. Bowing down right there in front of that guy. But because he bowed down and was not ashamed and he worshiped and everything, the king says, oh, since you're such a nice boy, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive you the debt. You don't owe me a penny. You just owed $4 billion. How would you like to have that kind of a debt forgiven? Well, see, what that really is, that's a picture of what you and I owe the king for our sins in life. That's a picture. You know, did you know that you and I owed him, some of us owed him more than $4 billion. Some of us weren't quite as bad as others, but some of us were really little stinkers growing up. You know that? You know, I think about my own grandchildren out here. All these grandbabies around here, you know, I tell my son, and of course I even call Dave's children my grandchildren too now, they're all out here playing together all the time, and I've observed many a time those little 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and 7-year-old, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old grandchildren that I've got, all different ages. You don't have to teach them how to be a stinker. They know how to be a stinker. In fact, the other day, John, Dave's boy, he's the sweetest little guy. He's not even 5 years old yet. And Grandma up here, she went somewhere to do something the other day, and they had a little, little four-wheeler, a little plastic one that had a little electric motor in it. So Grandma thought how wonderful it'd be to get him that little thing. So she bought him that little bitty tiny four-wheeler. And of course, it runs about 3-4 miles an hour, electricity, you know, it don't run very fast. But his mama told him, well, you have to share it with your sister. He said, oh, of course, Mama, I'll be glad to share it with my sister. You think that's what he said? What do you think he said? No, it's mine. I don't want to share it with nobody. Does that sound like us? Especially in our lost state. You know, before we get saved, well, you have to teach children how to share, don't you? They don't want to share. And when I told him, I said, but John, you need to share with your little sister. But Papa T said, I don't want to share my four-wheeler with my sister. Does that sound just like us? Unfortunately, that's kind of the way we are. After we get saved to a degree, we don't renew our mind and we don't understand what God's trying to tell us and how His Word works. But He says here that He said that this man, He had compassion and loosed him and forgave him that huge debt. Well, when we got saved, that's what Jesus did for us. That was the redemption, that this baggage of sin that you were bringing. And some of you got saved at young, like I did, and some of you got saved older, and those that got saved at 30 or 40 or 50, you had a great big cotton sack full of sins following along behind you. You know that? It was big, and it made no difference. He redeemed you from that, and when you asked Him to save you, He washed away all that, and He forgave you. And so we're grateful for that. But it said, but that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who had owed him 100 pence. Now, that's about $3,000. Now, there's a little difference between $3,000 and $4 billion. So, he said, he owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe me. Now, can you see this picture? I mean, this guy's just been forgiven a $4 billion debt, and now then a man owes him a little dinky $3,000, and he comes up and says, pay me what you owe me. And the guy said, well, I will. And he said, grabbed him around the throat, starts shaking him, and the guy falls down on his knees and starts pleading, be merciful to me. He said, no, I'm going to put you in jail if you don't pay me that $3,000 right now. Now, that's kind of a sad story, isn't it? But that's us. That's us as Christians. We do those same kind of things. Jesus told us not to do that. Verse 29 and 30. Let's see what it says. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. He's begging and pleading. And look what the man did. He would not, but he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Do we do that as Christians? Yes, unfortunately, we do that as Christians. We don't renew our mind with the Word of God. You know, we don't know what the penalties are for this. And in verse 31 and 32, he says, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and they came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, you wicked servant. Now, do you want the Lord to call you a wicked servant? When you read the scripture and find out what he does to wicked servants, you don't want to be one of those, do you? No, you don't. He says, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you asked me to. Verse 33 and 34. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry. Now, would you like to make God angry? If there's anybody you want to make angry, it ain't the Lord. I mean, I would a whole lot rather make you mad at me than God mad at me. And because, well, when you make the Lord mad, it says, and his Lord was angry or wroth and delivered him to the tormentors. Now, I was talking to this young man here a while ago, just before he came in. He said, when you go to some churches and they talk about devils, they don't want to hear it. Well, who do you think the tormentor is right there? That's a devil. That's a demon. Who turned you over to the devil? God. Is that a scary picture? If Jesus turns you over to the devil because you have unforgiveness in your life and the devil has legal claim to you, I mean, wow. It says that he was angry and he delivered him to the tormentors, the devil and his demons, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now then, if this man that owed the $4 billion, the 10,000 talents, if he couldn't pay when he was well and doing good and everything, if he couldn't pay that debt then, if you got a few demons hanging along your backside, tormenting you everywhere you go, making you sick and afflicting you, causing your equipment to break down, your car to break down, causing you to be sick and everything else, what do you think the chances of you ever getting this bill paid is? Zero. You ain't never going to make it. Never going to make it. This is a sad picture. And who was it that had to suffer this whole thing now? The man and his wife and his children and all of his assets. In other words, his entire bank account, everything is going to become legal ground to this tormentor. And then let's see what the next verse says, verse 35. Jesus said, so likewise, Peter, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not his brother their trespasses.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Have You Prayed Yet? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.